Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Gordon, how you doing? Are you all right?
All right, Dave, how's it going?
Good man, wow, you sound fantastic in beautiful downtown Greystones, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I've invested in a decent mic, Dave, so
wow,
that's probably
all
what's
the
helping
difference.
The sound.
So have I recently, actually. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's great fun. Anyway, I'm here in RT at the moment, so what I want to do is talk to Gordon Hayden here, because Gordon is the, well, I'll tell you what he is in a second or two, because horror is what we want to talk about first, probably the most divisive genre in the film industry. I must say, I can't believe how many horror movies there are out there, can't believe how many I see, and how few I actually really like. Anyway, the success of Oscar winners like The Exorcist and Get Out is very few and far between, and due to the low-budget nature of an awful lot of these movies, they can either go spectacularly right or spectacularly wrong, as they do most of the time, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think Gordon might necessarily agree, because today being Halloween is a big day for Gordon, because you have the podcast Scared Shitless. And it's, you're going to talk to us about horror movies now. So this is the question I haven't asked too many people. How is Scared Shitless treating you?
It's treating me pretty good, Dave. So yeah, the plan with the podcast initially was to speak to fellow film horror fanatics and people that within the business, the horror business, like filmmakers and stars. Like I've got interviews with Kane Hodder, who's probably best known as a stuntman and played Jason Voorhees in a number of the Friday the 13th movies, and Bill Moseley from some of the Rob Zombie films like Devil's Reject. So if you're into horror, and that's what I really want this podcast to be about, like a real love letter to the genre. So yeah, Scared Shitless, it's up on all the big podcast platforms.
And this is the weekend for it. So we're looking here at the best and worst of horror films. So where are you starting, Gordon?
Yeah, I was going to kick off, I suppose, with one of the Mac Daddies of the slasher genre, Halloween. It's on Film 4 this evening. This is the 1978 original now from John Carpenter, because it's had many iterations over the years and it's been diluted by an awful lot of the sequels. But you really have to just watch the film again just to see the sheer power of what John Carpenter did, and also his amazing soundtrack. Because when Carpenter had it locked, the print of the film, he took it to the head of Universal Studios touting for his next gig. And the head of the studio at the time went, you know, it's good, but it's not very scary. And he went back to her a few months later when he had the score down. And she goes, my God, she goes, whatever you've done to that film, whatever way you re-edited it, she goes, that's terrifying.
He didn't,
and he goes,
re-edit.
No, he goes,
the music.
He goes, I just put down the music. Yeah. And that score is so good. And the character of Michael Myers is brilliant. And originally the film was supposed to be called The Babysitter Murders. It was going to be a real low-budget job, $100,000. And Carpenter originally wanted to get either Christopher Lee or Peter Cushing in as the Dr. Loomis. But they looked at the budget. My God, there's not much money here on the table. So they passed. And Donald Pleasence didn't, and he played Loomis. And it's just a really simple story. It's about this maniac who escapes from a mental institute in order to wreak havoc on Haddonfield and this small little town once again. And Jamie Lee Curtis is the babysitter in question who gets caught up and tries to battle for survival. And it's just it's just so well directed by a director at the top of his game.
Yeah,
and it's
what do you call it? I mean, I don't remember the soundtrack. Is it terrible to say I don't remember the soundtrack of Halloween? But I do remember the soundtrack of one of his other ones, Assault on Precinct 13. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Really, really good. Like a lot of his stuff is great. And, you know, he was over in Dublin, Dave. I'd say, I'm going to take a stab at it, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he played Vicar Street, John Carpenter, along with his son and his nephew.
Really?
And that's what they've been doing now. They've been writing their own music, and then he recently did the score for the other version of Halloween that came out about 2 years ago.
Was that any good?
It's grand. Like, you know, like this is the problem with a lot of this stuff.
Read
like, it's
crap.
Fine. It comes. The problem is, it's kind of become very copy and paste with a lot of these slashers. And one of the other films I was just to jump on to, Dave, I suppose, which tried to do something different within the slasher genre, was A Nightmare on Elm Street. Again, this has been unfortunate with remakes, but the original, again, 1984, Wes Craven. What he did, he kind of tapped into an awful lot of fears, like obviously nightmares, but also the character of Freddy Krueger is an amalgamation of, there was a schoolyard bully that used to make his life miserable back in his early days in elementary school, a guy called Krug. And then the fedora hat came from this old man he saw rifling through his bins late at night, who kept staring up at him Craven, the young Craven, was up at his bedroom window. And just that image of that old man with his piercing stare always stayed with him. And again, there was a gap in the market for a decent slasher back in the mid-80s, because so much were trying to copy the Friday the 13th and Halloween type of style. And he shook it up. And I think Freddy Krueger is up there as one of the great slashers. Right. And also, the film was the debut for Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have a problem with all that. I don't like slasher movies. Anyway, I'll give you a blast of this, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Listen, Glenn, I know who he is.
Who?
The killer.
You do?
Yes. And if he gets me, I'm pretty sure you're next.
Me? Why would anybody want to kill me?
Don't ask. Just give me some help nailing the guy when I bring him out.
Bring him out of what?
My dream.
How do you plan to do that?
Just like I did the hat. Have a hold of the sucker when you wake me up.
Wait a minute. You can't bring somebody out of a dream.
If I can't, then you can all relax because it's just a case of me being nuts.
Yeah, well, I can save you the trouble. You're nutty as a fruitcake. I love you anyway.
I love you anyway. Okay, fair enough. I presume you're going to... By the way, that's a Nightmare on Elm Street. I presume you're going to go to Scream at some stage, are you?
Well, again, Craven gave the genre a bit of a shot in the arm because back in the, oh, it would have been the early, late 80s, early 90s, horror became a bit of a dirty word for an awful lot of Hollywood executives. The genre was very much on its knees. But then come the mid 90s, Craven just went back to that slasher genre and he teamed up with Kevin Williamson, who's, believe it or not, the creator of Dawson's Creek. And this was a very postmodern take, very kind of wink-wink at horror movies and the cliches and the type of characters, the stereotypes that littered these films. And they just came up with a really fresh premise with Scream. And it was a really entertaining film and it really worked. Again, it would spawn sequels that could never match the original. But it just showed that Craven, there are points in his career where he is on top of his game. So they would be my pick of the litter, Dave, when it comes to slashers. Halloween, A Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Well, the first one was, but the rest sucked.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Why? You want to ask me out on a date?
Maybe. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
What did you say?
No. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to roar laughing at it, but it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know, whatever. Scream, that's from 1996. Move on there, Gordon.
Dave, what about The Exorcist, though?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'll never forget. Like, they had the St. John ambulance in the foyer of all the cinemas. I thought that was brilliant.
That's true. I think a lot of people felt that it had been banned in Ireland. It hadn't. When it came out here in 1974, it just was very heavily censored. We actually didn't get a decent full version of it until the late 90s in 1998 is when it came out. But that's the thing. It never really been banned. But it's up there. The Exorcist is obviously one of the great horror movies. But it's also one of the few horror films to have gotten a load of Oscar nominations. 10 in total. Two. William Peter Blatty won for Best Adapted Screenplay. William Friedkin, I don't know, you've probably heard over the years, Dave, about some of the mad stories about how he treated some of the cast on set. Like, there was a real priest that was one of the cast members and he just wasn't given the proper emotion he felt that was needed in one of the scenes. So he just took him off camera, slapped him across the face, threw him back into the scene. Okay, right, do that again there. And that poor man, as he's given the last rites to a very, very important scene toward the end of the movie, that man had just been slapped across the face. And that's
what Father Karras. That was
well, that's one of the actors that is in that scene, but it was one of the, I can't remember the character's name off the top of my head. But that poor man had just been slapped. But there's been other stories as well, like the actor Jason Miller, who plays Karras in the movie, he wanted a bit of a William Friedkin, the phone rings in one scene and he wanted the character of a bit of a jolt and a bit of a scare because he's not expecting the phone to ring. And again, he wasn't happy with the way Miller was reacting. And so what Friedkin did was he cracked out a shotgun, set it off. And that scene where Miller just jumps is because he's just heard a gun go off in the background. Like, that's the type of carry-on that you could imagine these days. No way would that ever happen. You know what I mean? So Friedkin would have lost his Directors Guild of America card. But the thing is, he crafted one of those classic horror films that still stands up. Like, there's been lots of Exorcist sequels and other exorcism-type movies, but none of them can match the power of this film. It really is still that standard.
Didn't one of them, was it your man Blatty, or was it Friedkin himself, in real life, had a terrible exit from this world? I can't remember which one it was. Something fell off a bridge.
Oh, William Peter Blatty.
Yeah, he fell off a bridge and went through his windscreen. No, maybe
is
I'm wrong.
Is that what happened?
Was that him?
No, do you know, sorry. I think that might have been Tony Scott. Yeah, the director. I could be wrong there, but
Tony jumped off a bridge. Hold on a second. Let's go for this and we'll check it out.
I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Reagan.
I'm not Reagan.
I see. Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karras.
Where's Reagan?
In here with us.
Okay, that's The Exorcist. This is getting very morbid. Well, it is Halloween. You're supposed to look okay. The Exorcist 73. Where are you going next, Gordon?
Right, I'm going to try and shake it up a little bit here. 28 Days Later, which came out in 2002. Cillian Murphy, this was his calling card. Brendan Gleeson was in it too.
Cillian
Murphy from the get-go, he's bearing all. But this is with the director Danny Boyle shot the whole thing on digital video at the time because he wanted those desolate scenes of London. In order to get that, he had to shoot on digital because if he shot on 35mm, it would have taken too long and they needed to shoot very early in the morning. And they managed, I think, to craft one of the great zombie films.
Yeah.
Danny Boyle still said it's not a zombie movie. It's a film about the infected. But anyway, I just think this is superb. And what's also great about it, Dave, is that Alex Garland is the writer and the third act of the film is the most terrifying, because without spoiling anything, but just when you think our heroes of the movie are safe, that they've come into contact with people that should protect them, they're actually in the worst situation they could possibly
better off
be.
To be a zombie.
Apps, it is so well done. I tell you, it is one of those real edge of the seat finales, and the score is amazing. It's dark, it's gritty. It's a typical example of a horror movie that doesn't need to have a big budget whatsoever. It does look grimy, and I think it's all the better for it. It is well worth revisiting just to see again. Great cast and director, music, everything just coming together to make a perfect little picture.
Wake up today in hospital. Wake up and I'm hallucinating.
Hello! I've got some bad news.
They're infected!
Infected!
Father!
Infected with
what? Oh, I shouldn't have done that.
It's the blood. There's something in the blood.
Something in the blood. 28 Days Later is that one there. We're talking to Gordon Hayden just about all these movies in terms of Halloween-y kind of things. And where are you going next?
Dave, I'm going to go with one that went under the radar and I highly recommend it. It was kind of a more of an up-to-date horror movie. It's from Ben Wheatley, his recent film, Rebecca. His adaptation's on Netflix. But Kill List came out in 2011.
Have you seen Rebecca?
I haven't seen the new one yet. I don't know.
It's awful.
There's nothing draw me toward it at all. I'm kind of looking at it going, it looks more like Great Gatsby kind of vibe off
it's
it. I'm like, no,
kind of
no, I think
a
I'll
Disney
pass.
Version of I don't know, Hitchcock or something. It just doesn't work. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I think with him, he should go back to the folk horror because this is where he's at his best. And this is a film, it centers, Neil Maskell is the lead in it. Michael Smiley, the Northern Ireland actor, he's in it too. The two of them are former paratroopers who have become hitmen. But Maskell's character, he gets back into the hitman job, the hitman world, because he's got a number of debts to pay off. It seems like an old cliche. He's going to do one last job to kind of get him back in the red again. But this organization that's hired him, they've got a series of these kills that they want. But with each person that they knock off, Maskell's life just keeps getting more and more out of hand. Everything starts to get really, really weird. And it has a finale, which you're just going, oh, my God, where is this going to go? There's devil worship in there. There's a lot of crazy satanic stuff going on under the hood. I cannot recommend this highly enough. Wheatley shot the whole thing in 2 weeks. And you marvel at just how we managed to achieve that. But this is a real kind of almost has a bit of a documentary sort of vibe about it. Dave, if you've never seen
Kill List,
I don't
think I have.
This
is less than 10 years old, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? That's the thing with it. It came out in and around a few weeks shy of when Drive came out with Ryan Gosling in cinemas. And I think that a lot of attention went on to that film. But this got, Kill List got loads of 5-star reviews.
Oh, right.
And so again, if people have missed out on it, do check it out.
Okay, Kill List is what it's called. So give us some of the worst ones.
Some of the worst ones, well, I've been kind of moaning earlier on about remakes, but I think when it comes to remakes, one of the absolute all-time worst has to be the remake of The Wicker Man. What Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage is making 10 movies a year and each one worse than the last. And once in a blue moon, he doesn't do too bad. And then people think, oh, should we get him again?
But do you know what happened? The thing was, he had a massive tax bill, and you can understand at the beginning why he was churning out all these films, because he had to pay back the IRS. But now you kind of go, what the hell? But the Wicker Man, it was one of those, became an unintentional comedy. How they strayed so far from what Robin Hardy did in the mid-70s, which, again, that like, the original Wicker Man is up there as one of the great folk horrors. But they turned their new, the 2000 and, well, I think it was 2006 Wicker Man. It was just such a joke. Now, Nicolas Cage some years later came out and said, oh, actually, we made the film so that it would play for laughs. And you're going, who are you kidding, Cage? That's an absolute farce. But The Wicker Man, the bees, there's so many scenes in it now that have been parodied and they've become almost like these memes in themselves. It is an absolute shock and disgrace. And Neil Abboud, who was a respected theatre director, like I think his film career kind of went south after it, because not much happened for him after it. It is a disaster on all levels.
Put that back. Put that back.
Sorry, you're gonna have to bear with me. You little liars. And you're the biggest liar of them all. I am warning you. You tell me another and I'll arrest you myself. That is a promise, Miss...
Rose. Sister Rose.
Of course. Another plant. Rose.
Wow, that's like Bond, James Bond earlier. Rose, Sister Rose. Okay, fair enough. That's The Wicker Man from 2006. What other one is bad? Give me one other bad one.
I'll give you one more bad one, Dave. This from 1993, a film that Jennifer Aniston is just mortified by.
Oh, Leprechaun. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it. No, yeah.
Yeah, it came. Oh, well, now, mind you, Warwick Davis thinks it's one of his finest performances. Mind you, he made about 8 of these movies. One of them, he ended up in space. But this one is just brutal. It is
Leprechaun again, in
we're
space.
Going back to. I know. You know things are going wrong when they have to send the character up into space. Mind you, with the new Fast and Furious film, there's talk of them in space as well. But The Leprechaun, it's, again, bunch of teenagers, desolate, sort of an isolated house, and they're getting picked off one by one. But it's not a man in a mask. It's a man who's about 2 feet high, and it's a leprechaun because he fears they're all going to steal his gold. It is shockingly bad. And Warwick Davis, I think he went to the same vocal coach as Gerard Butler did for P.S. I Love You, because I swear to God, the dialect is all over the shop. It is awful. The effects in it are dreadful. Jennifer Aniston, as I mentioned, she hates it. She's embarrassed by the film. And mind you, it was one of her first movies, but it has become one of those movies that it's so bad, some feel it's good. But yeah, again, like The Wicker Man, avoid this at all costs. Actually,
this
no one.
Great house. I got a great buy on it.
Yeah, from who? Dracula? How about I get a hotel somewhere in town, and you can come visit, like once a week. Okay, I'll pay for it.
Tori, honey, you really think money's all you need to get by in this life? Huh?
Okay, I'll go with that theory. Dad, do you see that spider? It's huge. Thing could kill us, okay? And I'm going to turn around and I'm walking out of this basement and I'm going back up to the Jeep. I'm making a reservation at the nearest hotel in town. This is worse than summer camp. I'd rather sleep in a tent.
Two things. First of all, I interrupted you there. I want to get back to that. But is that a young Jennifer Aniston talking there, is it?
Oh, that's her, Dave. Oh. And little did we know that she would go on to have success like that. Awful, awful. No, I was just saying, just before we went to the clip, like I think the only way you could watch this film is if you were drunk, because that's the only way you get something out of it. There is nothing to be garnered from The Leprechaun unless you want to waste your time.
Okay,
it
well,
is 90 minutes of just awful.
Just on other bad things. I mean, there's one thing about horror movies, remakes and all that. There's, like you mentioned Wicker Man, there's an awful lot of that goes on, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Like you might remember when The Ring came out then in the early 2000s. Again, it was hugely successful in Japan. And then that kind of paved the way, because this is what Hollywood sees. Oh, they've got one success. We've tried and milk this for all it's worth. And then we had this explosion of J-horror remakes like The Grudge and Dark Water. And there was a load and One Missed Call. But all of them just were completely neutered. They never just seemed to work at all. And then when it comes to, we kicked off the conversation talking about Halloween, and And then again, it's like how some Hollywood producers, when it comes to then the sequel side of things, they just think, well, we'll just keep mining a series for all it's worth. And then you get like The Leprechaun and even Friday the 13th, where they start running out of ideas. Like the last film in the Friday the 13th series was Jason X. And what did they do? They sent him into space. Because then you kind of go, are you having an absolute laugh?
Hold on a second. You said something there besides all that, which is a J-horror movie. What's a J-horror movie?
Basically Japanese horror.
Oh, right.
So that was the tag that it was given at the time. And the Hollywood kind of going, what's the future of horror? Well, let's look east. And that's what they did. And unfortunately, any time they just, you felt always there was too many cooks at play. And they just didn't have strong filmmakers really at the center of these movies. If you want to watch any of the J horror stuff, go for the originals. Just avoid the Hollywood.
Okay, so remakes and sequels are one thing. What about video game adaptations?
Well, this is another particular subgenre that they just can't seem to crack. One of the two of the main offenders here, Dave, that should be fired from the DGA, the Directors Guild of America, are Paul W.S. Anderson, not the Paul Anderson who's made that, the like Paul Thomas Anderson made Boogie Nights, but Paul W.S. Anderson, and he's made Resident Evil and Predator versus Alien and all those type of films. But his Resident Evil series, originally George Romero was tapped to adapt the video game series, and unfortunately it didn't happen for him, and it went to Paul W.S. Anderson, try saying that fast, and he just completely just did not get the brief whatsoever, and he just adapted a horrendous adaptation. And Uwe Boll, a German director, he stopped making movies now because everything he made was so badly criticized. But he, for a long time, was churning out all these video game adaptations like House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, load of these video games. And all of them were so, so bad. Uwe Boll got so annoyed by the critics that he challenged them to a boxing match. He basically said, look, I've hired the boxing ring. I've hired the venue. I said, I'm going to take you all on one by one. And the crazy German, he did. It was like that movie Midnight Sting, one after another, they entered into the ring. Mind you, he didn't batter most of them.
I like him already. Just like finally on all of that, you haven't even mentioned one that happens to be four guys in a cabin in the woods saying, hey, I'll go out on my own to get the water. All that kind of stuff. Anyway, listen, we're going to go. So Gordon Hayden,
Dave,
that
pleasure.
Is of Scared Shitless fame, and people can check it all out, the podcast itself, wherever you get your podcast. Do you have a favourite? And like, I'll let you define your own idea of what a horror movie is.
Do you know what? I suppose I think the stuff that it feels like it actually could happen. Like, you know what I mean? I think whether it be a home invasion or one of those type of horrors. But here's another one to add to your list. Mightn't be necessarily considered a quintessential horror movie, Dave.
Yeah.
But check out Snowtown from Justin Kurzel, based on the Bodies in the Barrel, a series of killings in Australia. It is one of those horror movies that will stay with you for days. Snowtown.
Okay, I will. I mean, if I was going, I mean, I suppose Psycho isn't a horror movie, but it's not definitely. I'd probably go for Night of the Living Dead, the black and whiteness of it all. Anyway, listen, good man yourself. By the way, that's not a true story. Oh, there aren't zombies, are there? Nah, I don't think so. Gordon Hayden, Gordon, good man yourself, Gordon.
Cheers, Dave.
Good luck.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.